الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Each of us on this path, we have a goal. And the goal is actually wilaya. Wilaya means nearness or a proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is actually a defined station within our deen. The fuel that drives us along the path towards wilaya, in fact, there is no other way except through this means, and that is the sunnah. For us, from our elders, we've learned that it's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that propels an individual towards wilaya. It's when you inculcate the sunnah that you attract the mercy of Allah. When you attract the mercy of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drags you towards His nearness. And so it's the secret of our path is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that our elders emphasized even the smallest and quote-unquote, the most minute sunnah, what seemed to be minute, as the greatest means of achieving nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, in our path, you won't find an emphasis on a particular wird of an individual. We don't have the wird of this imam or the wird of that imam. Instead, there's an extreme emphasis on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, internal and external, emphasized and non-emphasized. The sunnah is the magic of this path. And the sunnah is what takes you to the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of those sunnahs is one that we often leave out, but it's so emphasized by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that number one, it behooves us to discuss it because it allows us to attain an extra fuel towards this wilayah. And number two, it teaches us a very important lesson about being consistent in our deeds. And that is the sunnah of the miswak. The sunnah of the miswak. The miswak in Arabic is the toothstick that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so regularly used. If you go through hadith, subhanAllah, for such a simple thing as a wooden toothstick and such a simple action as brushing the teeth, there is such tremendous emphasis in the hadith concerning this particular act of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it's just amazing. And it goes to show you the strength that lies in the sunnah of cleansing one's mouth with the miswak. For example, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the miswak, the siwak, is pleasing to the Lord and is a purity for the mouth. So immediately we learn that this simple action is something that attracts the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's not a joke. Whose pleasure are you attracting? Allah's pleasure. Now in this day and age, if there's someone whose pleasure you desire to attract, you'll go to all lengths in order to attract that pleasure, their pleasure. If you want to please someone, if you have someone that you respect, if you have someone that you desire to please, you go through so many extremities in order to please that person. And look at this, the creator of the whole universe, his pleasure is attained by what? By a simple toothstick and the action of brushing the teeth. It's just amazing. It's actually amazing if you sit down and reflect upon it. In fact, in another narration in the book of Imam Ahmad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon him. In his book, there's a narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly states that the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, every time he came to me, he emphasized the miswak so regularly that I was afraid of chafing my gums because of this emphasis. Meaning every single time, according to that hadith, that the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the miswak. SubhanAllah. I mean, this is not any messenger. It's the angel. Jibreel alayhi salam. Amongst angels, it's the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And amongst that, the angels don't come except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't come except with a message from Allah. So, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that every single time the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came, he emphasized the miswak to me, shows you how important that particular sunnah is. In another hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha says that the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do when he used to walk home, when he used to enter his home, was that he would use the miswak. First thing. Now you think about it, when we come home, how many things are on our mind? We think, okay, I have to, when we're driving into the garage and when we're parking in front of our homes, we think, okay, as soon as I get home, I got to remember I have to do A, B, C, D. And so many things come in your mind. And Aisha radiallahu anha is telling us that the very first thing regularly that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he entered the home was that he brushed his teeth with the miswak. And subhanAllah, you find it that it's not a sunnah of a particular action, meaning it's not a sunnah of entering the home, it's not a sunnah of salah, it's not a sunnah of wudu, it's a sunnah of the deen. It's that broad of a sunnah. Scholars classify it as a sunnah of the deen. It's a sunnah of Islam. Now you say, okay, the sunnah of Eid prayer is that you come one way and you go back another way. Right? The sunnah of entering the masjid is that you enter with the right foot. The sunnah of exiting the masjid is that you exit with the left foot. So you have a sunnah associated with an act. In the case of the miswak, it's the sunnah of Islam. That's how broad this sunnah is and how powerful this sunnah is. So you can only begin to imagine how important and how beneficial it is in achieving the wilayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that if I didn't fare difficulty upon my ummah, I would have commanded them to delay the Isha prayer and to use the miswak. I would have commanded them. He wanted to make it wajib. I would have commanded them to delay the Isha prayer and to use the miswak. So again, it shows you, subhanAllah, the power of this particular act. So that's the first thing to understand. First of all, that the wilaya is attained through the sunnah. And there's no other way. Wilaya is not attained through listening to your favorite artist, reading the books of individuals. It's not attained through conferences. It's attained through coming down and submitting to the sunnah. Very simple principle, but a very tried and tested principle. 1400 years of backup. Number one. Number two is that among the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is this miswak. And that number three, that it's not a sunnah of any particular act within the deen, it's a sunnah of the whole deen. When you begin to eat, when you finish eating, when you enter the masjid, when you leave the masjid, when you make wudu, when you enter your home, it's just that powerful of a sunnah. It applies to the whole deen. Now, if you look in the books of fiqh, a very interesting discussion emerges between our scholars. And that is they get very much into the debate of whether you should do your miswak at the time of wudu or at the time of salah. Right? Despite it being a sunnah of the deen, and the scholars agreeing that this is a sunnah of the deen, they enter into an extensive debate, especially in books of fiqh, that is the miswak a sunnah of wudu or is the miswak a sunnah of salah? So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and the people who came after him from that madhab, they were proponents of the fact that those miswak is a sunnah of wudu. So traditionally, when you go to the subcontinent or you go to Malaysia or Damascus or these places where you have many Hanafi people who follow the Hanafi madhab, you'll find that they don't do their miswak at the time of salah, they do it at the time when they're making wudu. Imam Shafi'i was of the other opinion. His opinion was that the time to make siwak was actually at the time of salah. But ironically, both scholars agree that the other scholar's position is also correct. Meaning Imam Abu Hanifa also agrees that you should do it at the time of salah, especially if you don't do it at the time of wudu. And Imam Shafi'i also agrees that you should do it at the time of wudu. So their discussion is the question of awla. What's the best way to do it? But actually, if you look a little bit deeper and you analyze it a little bit more and you study the issue, you find that their debate actually is not even a question of what's awla. The debate actually is a question of what the sunnah should be attached to. What should this sunnah be attached to. And they're teaching you a tremendous lesson. Our fuqaha are teaching a tremendous lesson in this particular bab. And that is that if you want to be consistent in an act, as a human being, you have to attach it to something that is already consistent within your life. You understand the principle? Because this is the essence of tasawwuf as well. If you want to be consistent in an act, and you want to attach an act to your life, you need to attach it to something that you're already consistent with. Meaning, now the discussion is, should it be with salah or wudu? Because these are two things which are pillars in the life of a Muslim. Salah is already established in the life of a Muslim, so let's attach the sunnah of miswak to that, so that it can become attached to the person's life. And wudu is attached to the life of a Muslim, so let's attach the sunnah to that. Now, they're not attaching it. It's actually way back from the hadith. And some hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that you should do it in the kulli salah, at the time of every salah. And in other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ establishes in the kulli wudu, at the time of every wudu. But the point is that you need to attach it to something that already exists as a pillar within your life if you want to be consistent with that particular deed. And this is the secret of the sunnah. And it's also the secret of dhikr. And it's the secret of tariqah. Because, for example, if you look at the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're all attached to something. The major ones are attached to something. For example, the sunnahs of eating. Now, eating is already in your life. Nobody has to encourage you to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's already there. What needs to be encouraged is that when you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that you apply those sunnahs, both before and after eating. Right? Similarly, entering your house is already there. It's now the question of attaching what should you do when you enter your house. Sleeping, it's already there. Waking up, it's already there. So the point now is to attach the sunan of sleeping and attach the sunan of waking up. And that's the secret of consistency. The secret of consistency is to find things that are attached in your life, that are firm in your life, like salah, and then attach something to that. So this is one question that's so often asked. Somebody asked me last week, somebody asked me the week before, so I decided to talk about it because it's so commonly asked and it's so important for people who are seeking consistency. Why? Because Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that for in the case of deeds, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا that the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the consistent ones. وَإِنْ قَلَّ even if they be few. It's not the number that's important, it's the consistency that's important. And the way you achieve consistency is by attaching it to something that's consistent in your life. Now, this also applies in the case of your dhikr. You have to be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. But that's too general of a statement. It's too vague of a statement. If I just say to you, you say to me, how should I do my dhikr? I say, you should always be in dhikr. That's too vague. It's too hard to put your hand on that. And so that's why you'll find in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ has adhkar for various events. When you're going up a hill, it's a new dhikr. When you're coming down a hill, it's a new dhikr. When you're entering the masjid, it's a new dhikr. When you leave the masjid, a new dhikr. When you finish salah, it's a new dhikr. The adhan is a dhikr. The iqama is a dhikr. All of these different adhkar, they're all attached to different actions. Now, this especially applies for those people who are seeking to increase their remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially through muraqabah. Now, students often ask, they say, okay, I know I need to do muraqabah. I know I need to spend some time clearing up my mind and my thoughts. And I know I need to reflect on the name of Allah. But when should I do it? And so what will happen initially is that students will randomly do it. One day I'm going to decide to do it at 10 o'clock. The next day I'm going to do it at 2 o'clock. The next day I do it at 8 o'clock. And so then it becomes random. And with that randomness comes the next step, which is inconsistency. In randomness, there's inconsistency. Now, instead, if you were to say, I know I'm going to pray Isha every day, right? I know I'm going to pray Isha every day. That's obvious in my life. So why not sit for 5 minutes before the Isha prayer? Or why not sit for 10 minutes after the Isha prayer and do your muraqabah at that time? If you make that a habit, you'll quickly progress. Why? Because now you're attaching it to something that's already firm in your life, Isha. And then, when that's firm in your life and you attach the muraqabah to it, the muraqabah becomes attached. Same thing with even in your daily lives and your study. I mean, same thing with this gathering. Now, how many times have we gone through the debate? Should this gathering be at 5 o'clock on Friday? Should it be at 5:30 on Friday? Should we set it at standard 5 o'clock on Sunday? But I know that if I leave it at 5 o'clock, it's going to be detached from Maghrib. And if it's detached from Maghrib, no one's going to come at 5 o'clock. Because that's the difficulty of detaching something from a pillar. So it's important that we just keep it at Maghrib, and so that's the way it's established. Whenever Maghrib is, people know they come, and it's set. So that's the importance of attaching a deed to something that already exists. So in your lives, when you find that there's something that you want to add from the Sunnah, or something that you want to add from the principles of the Sunnah, for example, Muraqabah, the lessons of Muraqabah, your Adhkar, etc., attach them to something that already exists. Make it a habit every day after Maghrib, no matter what, that I am going to do my Muraqabah after Maghrib or after Isha. Now, for example, in the case of Isha, say to yourself, after the Fard of Isha prayer, you should come to the Masjid for Isha. There's no excuse there. After the Fard of Isha prayer, I'm going to sit and do my Muraqabah for 10 minutes. I'm going to sit and do my Istighfar for a couple minutes. I'm going to sit and do my Salawat for a couple minutes. Then pray the Sunnah and the Witr. Because you know that the Sunnah and the Witr are established, you're not going to leave until you pray them. And the Fard, you know that it's established, you're going to pray that. So if you attach these deeds to two pillars, right? The Fard on one side and the Sunnah and the Witr on the other side, it'll become a very permanent deed in your life. Very regular, very solid deed that will be very difficult to distract you from. But if you randomly put it here, one day I do it at 10 o'clock, the next day I do it at 6 o'clock, the next day I do it at 7 o'clock, it's not going to be regular. And if you're not regular, it's very hard to achieve the love of Allah, that special love of Allah that comes with consistency. Right? أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ لَلَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا. Those are the most beloved deeds to Allah, the consistent ones. And it's that love of Allah that actually draws us near, not our deeds. I mean, we're fooling ourselves if you think your deeds draw you near to Allah. It's not our deeds. We don't have the ability to move one step forward. It's the fact that the deeds attract the love of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this effort, even if we can call it that, it's almost an insult to call it that, but through this effort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grabs us and brings us one step closer. It's the mercy of Allah that does that. But you have to attract the mercy of Allah. And the means of attracting the mercy of Allah have already been laid out in both the Quran and the Hadith. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be consistent in our deeds and to attach them to those deeds which are consistent in our lives. Wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.